Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of our program. It's great to have you with me. I am very excited about what we're hearing from Derek Prince about rejection. All week we've been hearing from him about this topic of rejection and what rejection causes, what causes it, what it causes in our lives. And I got to tell you, today Derek's going to turn a corner and start talking about the remedy, God's remedy for rejection. Now remember that rejection is something that we endure when we are not loved and instead pushed away by those who ought to be loving us in some way. Our soul sustains a wound, or as the Bible says, our spirit is crushed. That can lead to all kinds of other dysfunctions. Derek's been identifying those, and now he's going to talk about the remedy for rejection. Let's listen.
I explained three main ways in which people commonly react to the problem of rejection. The first is the person who gives in, who just gives up. And out of that giving up, there's a sequence of negative emotions and attitudes that evolves. I outlined it like this. Rejection leads to loneliness, loneliness to misery, misery to self-pity, self-pity to depression, depression to despair, and then it's either death, I wish I were dead, or suicide, I'm going to end it all. The second reaction is the person who holds out. The descriptive word there is indifference, a kind of superficial, glittering, but phony happiness. The inner attitude is expressed in the phrase, "No one will ever come close enough to me again to hurt me. I've been hurt once. I'll never let anybody come close enough to hurt me like that again." So there's this barrier of indifference that's raised up. The third reaction is the person who fights back. Here, the evolution of negative emotions and attitudes is something like this. Rejection leads to resentment, resentment to hatred, hatred to rebellion, rebellion to witchcraft or to the occult generally. And I spoke about a young man who became a gang leader but later came to Christ, in whom that whole order was fully worked out. Resentment, hatred, rebellion, the occult. Every one of these three ways of reacting to rejection has one thing in common. They are essentially defensive. A way to cover up the hurt. None of them is a positive solution, but God has a positive solution. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, there is a promise that was to be fulfilled through the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. This is the promise. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Notice that phrase particularly, to bind up the brokenhearted. In fulfillment of this promise, God has provided a remedy for rejection. It comes to us through Jesus and the cross. I'm going to turn now to that famous 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is a preview of the cross. The picture of the unnamed, suffering, sinless servant of the Lord. Although no person is actually mentioned by name in this chapter, all the writers of the New Testament unanimously identify this unnamed servant as Jesus of Nazareth. I'm going to read verses 4 through 6 of Isaiah 53. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Time does not permit me to give a detailed analysis of that, but I want to make one simple, comprehensive statement. At the cross, in fulfillment of that prophecy, there was a divinely ordained exchange. Jesus took upon him all the evil that was due to us, that we might receive in turn by faith all the good that was due to him. Here are some aspects of this exchange. Jesus was punished for our sin, that we might receive forgiveness. He was wounded for our sickness, that we might receive healing. He was made sin, that we might be made righteousness. He was made a curse, that we might receive the blessing. He died our death, that we might share his life. But beyond all that, Jesus also bore our rejection on the cross. He was rejected by men and finally by God.
You know, when Jesus quoted this scripture, Isaiah 61 and verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," and all the words that follow, when he quoted that in the synagogue, he then said, "And this word is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, God is available to do this for you right now. And that's true today. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Forgiveness, a slate wiped clean. This, of course, is part of our precious birthright as blood-bought children of God. But as recipients of such amazing grace and mercy, it's vital that we examine our hearts and minds for traces of bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. To help you in that important life-restoring process, we'd like to send you a free copy of a newly printed booklet by Derek Prince Ministries, titled "The Three Most Powerful Words: Discovering the Freedom of Releasing the One Who Hurt Us." Unforgiveness gives the enemy access into our lives and can even provoke God's anger. But when we show forgiveness toward those who wrong us, we empower our prayers, bring healing, and open up the pathway of God's blessing in our lives. To get your free copy of this liberating booklet, "The Three Most Powerful Words: Discovering the Freedom of Releasing the One Who Hurt Us," call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. We believe God will use this booklet to bring restoration, healing, and freedom. Call now for your free copy, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, hoping you've been with us for every moment of this great teaching on rejection. And now Derek is going to talk to us about how Jesus was despised and rejected and how he did it for us. Let's listen.
There was a divinely ordained exchange. Jesus took upon him all the evil that was due to us, that we might receive in turn by faith all the good that was due to him. Here are some aspects of this exchange. Jesus was punished for our sin, that we might receive forgiveness. He was wounded for our sickness, that we might receive healing. He was made sin, that we might be made righteousness. He was made a curse, that we might receive the blessing. He died our death, that we might share his life. But beyond all that, Jesus also bore our rejection on the cross. He was rejected by men and finally by God. Here's the picture of his rejection by men, given so vividly in that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 3. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." What a vivid picture of rejection and the suffering that goes with it. Bear in mind that Jesus bore all that in our place. He was rejected by his fellow men. They turned away from him, and he became familiar with our suffering of rejection. And yet that was not all. The worst was yet to come. So Jesus on the cross was rejected by his fellow men. But the ultimate was his rejection by God. This is so vividly portrayed in Matthew 27, verses 45 through 51. "From the sixth hour," that's midday, "until the ninth hour," 3 o'clock in the afternoon, "darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice," and these words are in Aramaic, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Being ignorant of Aramaic, they thought the word Eloi was Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar to put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. See, for the first time, Jesus prayed, and God the Father did not answer his prayer. God averted his eyes from his Son. God stopped his ears at his cry. Why? Because Jesus, at that time, was identified with our sin. And the attitude of God the Father toward Jesus was the attitude of God's righteousness toward our sin. The refusal of fellowship, a complete and absolute rejection. Jesus did not endure that for his own sin, but because his soul had become the sin offering for us. Therefore, the righteous attitude of God towards sin found expression in the attitude toward Jesus. It means a lot to me that at that moment on the cross, Jesus spoke Aramaic. You know what I've observed in visiting hospital rooms and so on? That when people are under real pressure, desperately sick, maybe at death's door, normally their mind goes back to the language they first learnt in childhood. I've experienced this many times. To me, that gives such a vivid picture of the humanity of Jesus, that his mind went back to the language he'd spoken in his home. He cried out in Aramaic. Think of that awful darkness. Think of the loneliness. The sense of being absolutely abandoned, first by man, and then by God. You and I may have experienced rejection in some measure, but never in that measure. And then look at the consequence, so dramatic, so immediate. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. What does that mean? That the barrier between God and man had been removed. The way was opened for man to come to God without shame, without guilt, without fear. Jesus bore our rejection that we might experience his acceptance. That's the meaning of the rent curtain. Jesus died of a broken heart. The rejection of his Father was more than he could stand. But thank God the result was that torn curtain representing our access to God. Let's look in closing at the outworking of our acceptance by God. In Ephesians 1:3-6, Paul says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." What was God's eternal purpose even before creation? That we might become his children, his sons and his daughters. The only way that could be achieved was through the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross. When Jesus bore our sin and suffered our rejection, he opened the way for our acceptance. For just that period, he lost his status as God's son, that we might gain that status as God's sons and daughters. I love that sixth verse, "to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." That word translated "freely given us" is a very powerful word. It's the word that the angel used in saluting the Virgin Mary, "thou that art highly favored." It means we become the object of God's special favor. The King James Version says, "God has made us accepted in the Beloved." That's the solution to rejection. It's to realize that Jesus bore your rejection that you might have his acceptance.
When the book of Hebrews tells us to consider Jesus, that really is where the power is. Consider Jesus as he was despised. Consider Jesus as he was rejected. And it becomes, by the power of the Holy Spirit, healing for our souls. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Why are so many lives littered with tragic mistakes? Derek Prince said it simply, we don't realize our value to God. In his wonderful audio CD, Do You Realize How Valuable You Are?, Derek Prince reveals your value in God's eyes, how God lovingly created you, why Jesus paid the ultimate price for you to spend eternity in heaven. To get your copy of this encouraging audio CD for only $6.95, simply call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. To God, you're priceless. Don't settle for less than His best in your life.
800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with me today on this Wednesday. We've been talking about rejection this week. We've been learning from Derek about rejection, the causes of rejection, how we can overcome it. And we wanted to get very real in looking at Derek Prince's life. To help us with this is Pastor Jeff Buck, who's with us today from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Jeff, thanks for being here today.
Pleasure to be with you.
Listen, I appreciate so much your history with Derek. You were born again and then met Derek and really gravitated to him as a teacher and progressively got to know him over the years and eventually worked with him, traveled with him, even on the board of his ministry. But I want to zoom in a little bit today on your experience because very few people have had the sort of close-up bird's-eye view that you've had. You must have seen Derek in some very, very dark times. And when I was writing the bio of Derek, one of the things I really appreciated was how open he was about the dark nights of the soul, about the times of rejection and pain. You know, as you well know, you know, he taught about deliverance and he was rejected. Can you zoom in just a little bit with us and help us understand how this man battled through to victory in those dark times?
I think the time I noticed it the most was when Derek was engaged to Ruth. What happened was we were with Derek in Germany on a teaching conference, and then we all jumped on a plane in Vienna and landed in Tel Aviv for the ministry in Israel part of the tour. And as we got off the plane onto a shuttle bus out on the tarmac, a blonde-haired woman jumps onto the bus and jumps into Derek's arms in a very nice embrace, and we're all like, well, who is this woman? And we had had 3 hours sleep. Derek looked exhausted. We were standing in the middle of this bus, and this woman comes on, and he lit up like a candle. I've never seen anything like it. All the years seemed to fade away, and here he is, and he is about to become engaged to this woman, Ruth. Well, some of the people that he worked closely with, some of his supporters, because she had been previously married, really, really had a hard time with that. And I can remember in 1979 being around Derek in Kansas City. I'd say the only time I ever saw Derek depressed was that time. He was so hurt and so lost as far as what to do. He had decided to lay down that relationship and consider whether he was to yield it to God as Abraham yielded Isaac. And that's the lowest time I recall seeing Derek. He battled it through, he prayed, and the heart of the men around him turned again to allow that marriage and encourage that marriage, and he did it right. He laid it down, his joy returned. He was a man that would obey Scripture and always seek to bring things to the cross. And his joy in his years with Ruth, it was a marriage like you'll never see again.
Many people today wouldn't really understand how really difficult that was for him. He was clearly in love with a woman. She was a divorcee. People suspected her of trying to, you know, horn her way into his ministry or into his money or what have you. That had to be a really gut-wrenching time for him. And, you know, a lot of men have walked away from the ministry in times like that.
Yes, there were very few people that stayed with him, as you probably know. John Hagee in San Antonio was one of them, and he forever earned Derek's affection because of his standing with Derek, and Derek had stood with him in a similar situation. It was a very dark night of the soul, and Derek handled it just so beautifully, and he got through it.
You know, when I began doing the bio on Derek, I heard a lot of people tell me what a really difficult personality his second wife was, how horrible really they thought it was in some cases. But, you know, I remember when there was a story out of Pakistan, and they were in a van careening down a road, and the van began to sort of, you know, weave wildly, and it was about to strike, it looked like anyway, another truck, and she took off her seatbelt and threw her body over Derek's to protect him. And I've always thought, you know, any woman who will do that, whatever her flaws, she's to be honored, you know, in memory. And is that sort of your experience? Is that how you saw her at the time?
Ruth, of course, was a Marine. Ruth was a very dutiful person. She absolutely sacrificed her sleep, her health, her life for Derek. When she was engaged to Derek, she had asked him, "What can I do for you?" And he said to her, "Protect me." Now, he meant, help me with my diet, help me with my schedule, help me with resting. And she took it very, very seriously. Some would say way too seriously. So she tended to be someone who would dispel phone calls, visitors, distractions, and help keep him focused. But I saw what it did to Ruth, in the the 90s when they lived here, and her health was very, very poor, but she would never, ever cease to sacrifice herself to keep him on track and in his calling. And she gave up a lot for him.
You know, in the latter months of his life, I had the privilege of being with him there in Jerusalem, and he often said that he would never have accomplished what he ultimately did accomplish had it not been for Ruth. And so he clearly saw her as a tool of the Lord to help facilitate his ministry, as controlling as she might have been at times.
You said it perfectly. If you were to go to their condo here, everything had a label, everything had a place, everything had an organization to it. But that was the way Derek wanted it. He wanted to give himself to one thing in life, and that was to be, as I heard him say in 1979, the best Bible teacher he could be. And she dedicated herself to making him that, and she traveled with him all over the world, country after country. I remember seeing her in Moscow pull out of this huge purse that she had a water purification kit. Now, she had left Fort Lauderdale 4 months before, only needed the water purification kit in a couple of countries, but she had to keep everything in her purse or suitcase that Derek would need anywhere in the world, keep him safe, keep him healthy, and she was good at it.
You know, going back to this topic of rejection for just a moment, Jeff, was there ever a time that you were dealing with rejection and opposition and Derek ministered to you personally?
I was rejection personified when I first met Derek in 1974, 75, 76. And I remember sitting at his feet, literally in that Presbyterian church at another gathering. He was in the high pulpit of that church, and I was 20 feet below, literally at his feet, looking up at him. And I remember thinking, this man is a spiritual father. And I remember something inside me said, one day you'll work with this man, which happened. Being around Derek and his consistent discussion of rejection, this was something he talked about a lot, led me then to read Rejection, Cause, and Cure, listen to the rejection tapes, study the cross. And it was Derek's own confidence before God and then his materials that enabled me to overcome that shyness, insecurity, and yes, rejection. I am indebted to Derek for his clear, passionate understanding of rejection, and he would never, ever fail to stop and talk to someone or pray with someone about that particular problem. He was very dialed into it.
Well, Jeff, I wonder if I can put you on the spot. Since you've had that model in Derek and you now are a pastor of many years, would you mind taking just a few moments here and praying out of your own victory over rejection for those who are listening? That's what we're dealing with this week. We're trying to be very practical. We want to see people set free. I'm certain that you have taken hold of something in prayer that now you can voice for us before the Father. Would you mind doing that?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today for the many listeners now in the name of Jesus. We remind you of your word of Ephesians 1:6, which says, to the praise of the glory of God's grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Thank you because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you because of the nature of God as a Father. Thank you because of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We are practically, theologically, and in reality accepted, loved by God. And we ask in the name of Jesus for that revelation of the Father's love, of the Son's sacrifice, of the Spirit's indwelling, that you would deliver us completely by the power of your word and your Spirit from that sense of being unwanted and being rejected. We acknowledge by faith that it is true that we are deeply accepted and made accepted, and now let it become real and practical in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jeff, it's great having you with us today. Look forward to having you back on Friday, bud.
Thank you.
And listen, that's all the time we have for today. To listen to any of these teachings or to hear everything that Jeff's been sharing with us, log on to DerekPrince.org. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Get your copy of Derek's CD, Do You Realize How Valuable You Are? When you call toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, 888-737-0771. The CD is just $6.95. When you order, we'll include a free copy of Derek's booklet, The Three Most Powerful Words. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or purchase your copy of Do You Realize How Valuable You Are? And request your free copy of the Three Most Powerful Words booklet securely online at DerekPrince.org.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us at derekprince.org.